You're listening to the Crosscheck NHL Show, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Here are your hosts, Andrew Berkshire and Mary Clark.
Hi, and welcome to the Crosscheck NHL Show. I'm Andrew Berkshire, and I'm here with Mary Clark from For the Win. Our sponsor today is Rock Auto. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts that your car will ever need. Visit rockauto.com and tell them that Locked On sent you. We got a great show today. We got some quick hits to start us off. There's lots of stuff to talk about around the NHL. Maybe not big stories, but some interesting stories that we can't wait to tell you about. And then we've got a really good batch of interviews here with two original six teams. We've got Jack Bushman from Locked On Blackhawks to come talk to us about the Blackhawks upcoming season, and Scott Matla from Locked On Canadiens. Laura Saba couldn't make it, but that's okay. Scott's pretty good too. And then we'll finish it off with some pop culture roulette because, as always, we're going to talk about something Marvel or Disney or Star Wars on this show. It's just the way that it goes. Just accept it. Love it. Mary, how you doing?
I'm good. I agree with your premise of telling people that it's something Disney related because, hey, they own a bunch of things and it's not our fault that we like it. So, but I'm good. Weekend was good. Sports are back. Football is back, and I have hope for the Eagles again, and we'll see how that goes through the rest of the season. But I'm feeling good. It's another week ready for fall, because I mean we're really into it now with first week of NFL season. We're deep into college football now. I'm ready for fall. I would like it to be fall weather and stop being 80 degrees here, please and thank you.
I mean, we're having nice cool weather here, so I'm not gonna complain about the weather anymore. I'd like it to stay this temperature for the next like 6 months. That'd be perfect. I know it's not gonna happen. I know it's gonna be shorter than I want and it's gonna be snow, but that's just life. I'm enjoying having the windows open every day in the house. It's the best time, you know? I think spring is great too, but spring has like the melt and like all the people who didn't pick up their dog poop when it was winter. So it kind of stinks. There's hope in spring, but it just is also kind of gross looking. So I enjoy the fall.
In spring, I do like when, you get that first warm day and you can, you know, it just feels different. I don't know what it is because, you know, the temperature is the same in like, you know, the fall and the spring are at least similar. But there is something about that first spring day where it's nice and warm and you're like, oh, this is it. This is what life is for.
This is true. Spring has that, like, it breaks you out of the funk, right? The seasonal depression, we'll say. But yeah, I mean, We could talk about seasons and weather on this podcast all day, but let's get into some hockey stuff because there's a few small stories going around that I think we can touch on and get some people's opinions on as well. The Canadiens, for example, are not going to name a captain or an interim captain during Shea Weber's absence. Now, I think you could speculate a few different things on this. I think we could say maybe that the Canadiens don't feel anybody else could take Weber's role, essentially, that it's too big of a set of shoes to fill. I mean, you could take that literally as well. He's a giant. But also maybe that they feel like he might be back after this season. I wonder if that might be part of it, that they think that maybe the injuries that he's suffered are only going to keep him out 1 year, or that there is a chance that he could come back for the playoffs and they'll try to pull a Kucherov, even though I don't think they're going to make the playoffs. What do you think, Mary? I'm a little bit confused by it.
I think it leaves the door open for that possibility. Everything we've heard, though, makes it seem like this is probably it for Shea Weber. But this happened before.
Agreed.
This happened before, though. Like, a couple years ago. Was it, like, a year and a half ago or something?
Yeah, there was a report that he pretended to be an old man on the ice.
Yeah. So we've seen this before. Not to say that Shea Weber is crying wolf here. He's absolutely not. But I'm saying that, like, there is a possibility because, you know, you never know with stuff like this, or at least there hasn't been a lot of information put out there about, you know, what he's dealing with. It's very private. They're keeping it, you know, very close to the chest, obviously, because, I mean, a lot of teams do that, but it's a very personal thing. So, like, I get it, but I think they're leaving the door open here for that possibility. And I'm okay with it. I mean, what, did the Maple Leafs not have a captain for a while, right?
Yeah, I think after Dion Phaneuf was traded, they didn't have a captain for like a season or two, maybe three seasons. That was under Mike Babcock, I remember. And then eventually when they brought in Tavares, I think Tavares played a year there before he was named captain. So they've only had a captain the last 2 years, I think.
Yeah, something like that. Like, so
some teams do this. The Canadians did this before Weber, right? After they traded Pacioretty, I think they had a captainless season, and people speculated whether it would be Weber or whether it would be Gallagher, and it was clearly going to be Weber. No, it wasn't after Pacioretty. It must have been the year before. I think it was before that. Yeah, sorry. I'm like screwing up my timelines there. It's not very entertaining to listen to. Sorry about
that. It's okay, because this pandemic has ruined my sense of time.
Yes.
So like 100%. I know what you're talking about, but like being able to place dates, no clue. So
yeah. Yeah. It's hard to remember like how long ago things were. It's some things that feel like yesterday or like 10 years ago now. It's crazy. But I think that's also just age, you know.
As you older
and you have kids, and you just, everything passes by very quickly. I know there's a saying that goes around that's very, very true. When you have kids, the days are long, but the years are short. And it's the most true idiom that I've ever been like accustomed to. It's very, very true. But so the Canadians aren't going to name a captain. I think that this is kind of one of those things where it makes sense sometimes. But I think for a team like the Canadians, where they clearly think that they're going to compete again right away, just do it. I mean, I think it's fairly clear that Brendan Gallagher is the emotional captain of the team. Maybe there's an issue with him not being respected by officials, but that's something for the officials to figure out, right? So, like, I don't know. Just go with what you have and don't dance around it. Just do it. But I think you're right that it does leave the door open, but like we said, everything that we've heard suggests that Shea Weber is done. And it's a sad way to end his career, but at the same time, he had that one nice run. So maybe just close the book while he can still comfortably play with his kids and everything. Another story going around is Sens general manager Pierre Dorion saying that the team's rebuild is done. And this is one of the most fun ones, I think, because you look at the Senators last year, where they were in the North Division, which everyone criticized as being weak. And they were basically garbage for the first third of the season. And then once they were way, way out of the picture, they played great. And everyone's like, oh, wow, this team's on the rise. They're going to be incredible. First of all, they haven't signed Brady Tkachuk yet, which is a big deal. Apparently, that's not even, like, imminent. Like, they're not even talking. So that's interesting. But also, how often have we seen teams be completely out of the playoffs and play really loose and do really well and then the next season make no progress? And I think this is the situation for the Senators. I just don't think they're very good. I think they've got some good pieces, but I think they're going to be very disappointed this year. I don't think they have any sniff of a playoff spot.
Yeah. What division are they in? I hate to be like this, but what division are they in next year?
The Atlantic, very tough division.
Yeah. All right. So I was going to say, maybe there's a chance. I don't know about that. They're in a tough spot.
We could go through the Atlantic division quickly. Who do we think they're better than?
Okay,
so let's see here. We gotta go. Oh, we gotta go back another year because last year the divisions were messed up. So the NHL site is not.
I use Wikipedia. Wikipedia has been helpful with.
Are they better than the Boston Bruins?
No.
Are they better than the Tampa Bay Lightning?
Oh no.
Better than the Toronto Maple Leafs?
No.
Florida Panthers?
No.
Montreal Canadiens?
No.
Buffalo Sabres?
Yes.
Yes. Detroit Red Wings.
Yes.
Okay, so let's say that there's a 50-50 shot that they finish ahead of the Canadians. That puts them fifth.
Yeah.
I just don't see the odds being in their favor at all.
Mm-hmm. I have high hopes for them for the future. They've got some really nice young players. They're fun. And I can understand that, you know, the rebuild being done in terms of, like, they're not going to try and actively, like, any players they try and pick up from the draft might not fit within their, I got perceived window of opportunity, I think, is maybe what this is signaling to me. But it's just a very weird quote to be like, the rebuild is done, and then like be bad. But I don't know if they're going to be bad by, you know, it might just be part of their situation. They're going back into the Atlantic Division, and that's a meat grinder, as we've all talked about throughout the offseason. I don't know.
I think when you're a general manager of a major sports team, you shouldn't say things that are so definitive. It's just not smart. Unless you're like the Tampa Bay Lightning and you're like, okay, we're going to compete for the cup again. Or like, we think we can win the cup again. Fine. You've already done it 2 times in a row. I believe you that you could do that. But to say, oh, well, the rebuild's done when you have, like, what's the center line for the Ottawa Senators right now? You know, like, they still have, like, Colin White, who hasn't really played that well. Chris Tierney, who's gone next year. Nick Paul, who's good, but, like, he's already 26. You know, like, Josh Norris looks really promising, but has only been in the NHL for a short amount of time. You know, like, Tim Susila, I think, is going to be on the wing. Shane Pinto looked good last year, but again, 20 years old. We don't actually know how he's going to work out. There's good pieces, but to say we're done, it just is so final. And you're done your rebuild, and your goaltenders are Matt Murray and Anton Forsberg. Okay, there.
Still, Andrew, it makes for good content, so I'm not going to complain.
It makes for great content. Yes. I love it. Mm-hmm. I just think that if you're if you're in the position of being the manager, it's not smart to say something like that.
Yeah, that's fair.
It sets expectations that are hard to follow up on, and it's just it. To me, that puts one nail in the coffin of being fired. You know, I know he just got extended, but that doesn't matter in the NHL.
Oh God, it's Pierre Maguire's time. Are we sure this isn't a plot from Pierre Maguire? Are we sure? Yeah.
Tell him you're done, Pierre. Tell him you're done. Two Pierres, Pierre Maguire, Pierre Dorion. But yeah, I mean, I think the Ottawa Senators are a fun team to watch. I think that's probably the best thing that you can say about them is that they don't leave you unentertained on most nights. They are a team that puts it all out there. They work hard. But I think those teams that build themselves on, like, oh, we're going to outwork other teams every night, it works when all the players are young and you have something to build towards. But as soon as things don't fall into your lap relatively quickly, it becomes harder and harder to, like, maintain that focus in the room. Like, oh, we could just outwork everybody every night. Like, if they don't make the playoffs this year, don't make the playoffs next year, then all of a sudden, how much harder is it to motivate guys to, like, oh, we're going to play all out this style that's very taxing every night and forecheck them into oblivion? Eventually, guys get upset with that, and they want to do something that's a little bit more skilled, a little bit more fun, maybe not that kind of personality. So it's interesting. I think the Ottawa Senators are a team that's it's pretty significantly overrated at this point in time. But speaking of overrated, the Calgary Flames, for some reason, every year, bring back Michael Stone, who just hasn't done much in the NHL at all. And then they also bring in Erica Branson, who is one of the worst negative impact defensemen in the league. Sign them both. I'm looking at the Calgary Flames defensive core after losing Giordano.
Mark Giordano, yeah.
And I like a lot of the pieces on the Flames, but Sean Monahan is in decline. Things have not been going well for him the last couple of years. I really like Matt Tkachuk. I really like Johnny Gaudreau. I really like Michael Backlund, even though he's on the wrong side of 30 now. You know, Blake Coleman, love that signing, especially at that cap number. I think the term is completely acceptable for that cap number. Elias Lindholm is a good player. Andrew Mangiapane is fantastic. They've got pieces. And then I look at their defense and what are they going to do here? Like, just, it looks like they're trying to build the Montreal Canadiens defense from last year with, like, Chris Tanev, Nikita Zadorov, Eric Goodbranson, Michael Stone, all these big lumbering guys. But Noah Hanifin is no Jeff Petrie, and there is no Shea Weber on that. Like, Mark Giordano would have been their Shea Weber, right? So, like, I see them as having one legit top 4D, and that's Noah Hanifin, and he's not a number one.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's a hurting decor. Jacob Markstrom better have the year of his career if they have any hope of making the playoffs.
Yeah, it's interesting how, like, you remove the Mark Giordano from the, you know, the Jenga,
yeah,
you know, and tower, the, and it all falls
the
down.
The dominoes fall, right?
Yeah. It's really interesting that has happened, but he is now with Seattle, which is wild to think about even still.
Well, and you think, like, back a few years ago when the Flames were threatening to be competitors, right? You look at their top four that they had, and Hanifin was part of that. But he was the clear fourth guy after Giordano, Hamilton, and TJ Brody. They've lost in almost consecutive years, Hamilton, Brody, and Giordano. Like, at a certain point when guys age out, yes, it makes sense that you're going to lose guys. Like, it makes sense in some respects to lose Giordano because of his age. TJ Brody, UFA, like, it was a risk for them in their window that they're in right now to sign TJ Brody as compared to Toronto. But to lose those three guys and not really have anything to replace them with, that's hurting. And I think they're really hurting by guys like Oliver Shillington not panning out, right? Like a lot of their young guys, even Rasmus Anderson, is not as good as they thought he was going to be. So I think the Calgary Flames are in a really tough situation here defensively.
Yeah, but that means Johnny Gaudreau, come home. Come home to Philly.
You're just waiting for this.
Yes. Yes, I am. I'm absolutely waiting for this. Please. Please come home to Philly, Johnny Gaudreau. That is all I'll say.
Who are the Flyers giving up to be able to afford Johnny Gaudreau as a UFA?
Oh, God. I don't even want to think about it. It's probably somebody like a Morgan Frost, if I had to guess.
Well, Claude Giroux is a UFA this summer.
No, we're not putting that out there into the universe. Claude Giroux will retire as a Flyer, and that is all I have to say about that. He wants to stay, I'm sure. He has a family year.
The one that makes the most sense is probably JVR, right? He's got 1 year left after this year, $7 million.
I'm still surprised he didn't go to Seattle. But
so am I.
Seattle's plan kind of ruined all of that. But yeah, JVR is the one most likely set to leave, just, you know, by circumstance of, you know, the salary cap and whatnot. But he's been a good player. So if, you know, the Flyers can trade him this season, you know, for a return, we'll see. We'll see how it goes for them this year, though.
I feel like that's the story of JVR's career, right? Is it like nobody's actually upset with them being on their team, but he's always the guy who seems to be replaceable?
Yeah,
like he's worth his salary, he brings goals, he does a lot of good stuff, but when you're looking at like, okay, who do we get rid of, it's always like JVR.
Yeah, it must be a very weird position to be in, because I mean, he was on the Flyers to start his career and then, you know, went to Toronto and then is now back with Philly.
Yeah. You know what I think it is? I think it's he's just good enough that, you know, that there's a good market for him, but he's not a superstar.
Yeah.
Right, he's not a star player, so it's easy to justify giving him up at the same time, and he has a very attractive skill set. So.
Yes, he's one of those net front presences, you know.
Yeah, in a way, it's like really awesome for him because he knows that he's going to have a job no matter what. Like he's not anywhere close to being out of the league, but it is odd how replaceable he feels at times.
Yeah, it is weird, but I do like him. I think in a perfect world, it'd be great for the Flyers to keep him, but it's the salary cap, and you have to, you know. You can't get around that, so unlike people in like Tampa Bay out there, but
yeah,
still it is. Yeah, I mean, well, I am sure we'll talk about the Flyers more as we get closer to our season previews, but it is getting at least a little bit back to the Flames. I definitely wouldn't be surprised if they take a dip just because of their defense. Like,
yeah,
is because who's their number one, like, of that group? Is it Noah Hanifin?
It has to be Hanifin. I don't think there's anybody else who's even in competition for it. I think it's Hanifin, Anderson, and then like a soup of bad.
Yeah. Oh, that's going to be tough. I feel bad. I really do.
I think honestly that the Flames, because of their mismanagement of D, even with Daryl Sutter's system and that being tough to play against, I think they're going to be falling like a rock. And speaking of rocks, this episode is brought to you by Rock Auto. With the ever-increasing numbers of makes and models, it's now impossible for your local chain auto parts store to stock all of the parts that you need. Why endure often pointless or seemingly intimidating questioning and wait while the person behind the counter orders the parts on their computer, choosing only the brand their warehouse happens to carry? You have computers with access to rockauto.com in your home and in your pocket. Save time and money when using rockauto.com. Why would you choose to spend 30 to 50 to even 100% more for the same parts from a chain store or car dealership? Rock Auto is a family business serving do-it-yourselfers for only 20 years, and their prices are reliably low for every customer, whether you're a do-it-yourselfer or a professional mechanic. They have everything that you could possibly need, from brake parts, tail lamps, motor oil, and even new carpet. Go to rockauto.com right now and see all the parts available for your car or truck. Write "Locked On" in their "How did you hear about us" box so that they know that we sent you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts that your car will ever need. rockauto.com. Does this sound familiar? You've got one device that lets you catch the game live, another that lets you stream your favorite shows, and you're watching sports highlights on your phone, and you've got your neighbor's best friend's login for all the good stuff. Well, I want to tell you about a simple way to get all that entertainment that you love without the hassle, and a great way to finally get your TV together. It's called DirecTV Stream, and it brings your live TV and on-demand favorites together like never before, so you can watch your favorite sports, movies, and shows all in one place. That means no more juggling remotes and no more need to buy another device ever again. And the best part? There's no annual contract. So get rid of the clutter and the confusion and get your TV together with DirecTV Stream. You can learn more at DirecTV.com. That's DirecTV.com. Compatible device required. Content varies by package. Welcome back to the Crosscheck NHL show. I'm here with Jack Bushman and Mary Clark, who finally we get to do an interview together, Mary. It seems like it's been a long time. We've been trying to schedule all these interviews for the Crosscheck Summer crossover. And to, in order to fit them all in, we've been interviewing people individually. Now we finally get to talk to Jack together. Jack Bushman from Locked On Blackhawks. How you doing, man?
I'm doing well. It's been a good start to my morning. Can't complain. How are you guys doing?
All right. I got to sleep in a little bit this morning because I've got my wife's parents here and they're taking care of the kids in the morning. So
lovely.
Very nice little boost to the energy there. And other than that, all good.
Yeah, I'm good too. Just coming off a weekend of football. That's probably why I'm so busy because sports are, it's, you know, we're getting back to that time where more sports are coming back. So I'm just busier as a person. So, but good. My teams did good this weekend. And other than that, not much else to say, really.
Yeah, it was a good first football weekend, in my opinion, other than my fantasy running backs not doing anything. I had Aaron Jones and Saquon Barkley.
Oh, no.
Put up a whopping like 5.4 points combined, cost me my week, but it is what it is. I think they'll bounce back eventually.
Yeah, it's still week one. You can recover. I don't play fantasy football. I don't know. Well, I shouldn't say I don't know a lot about the rest of the league, but I mostly do fantasy hockey, but it's not something I'm like, you know, clamoring to do. But I know people really love their fantasy sports.
Yeah, I used to do fantasy hockey like crazy, but I'd get so into it. And it was one of the things where I told my wife, I'm going to have to cut this because there's so many things that I spend so much time on. Eventually, I'm going to have to move out. So I had one year where I was in four pools and I won 3 out of 4. And I was like, walking out on top. I'm doing the George Costanza, you know, just leaving it out. But yeah, so before we get too sidetracked talking about fantasy sports, obviously, we got to talk about the Blackhawks. And they're a team that's gone through quite a bit of changes over this summer. They seem to be trying to work things back into a competitive area after being a bit of an also-ran for the last several seasons. So, Jack, can you tell us just who's in and who's out relative to last season?
Yeah, first things first, it's definitely going to be a new look on defense for the Blackhawks this season. And that's really, that's really the biggest area heading into this offseason where we needed to make adjustments. The last couple of years, having Duncan Keith as our number one defenseman, it's not a knock on him or his game at all, but with all the mileage he has on his legs and how many seasons he's been serving already as the number one defenseman for the Blackhawks, it was just kind of that time to go in a new direction. It really wasn't the best thing for our team at that point to still have, you know, 36, 37-year-old Duncan Keith out there for 25 minutes a night. So this offseason, we kind of finally turned the corner by A, moving him to Edmonton and also not really taking too bad of a hit in that deal. Most people around the Blackhawks thought they were going to have to retain a decent amount of coin in order to move Duncan Keith in that contract. That didn't wind up happening. So that was a good move. And then also the Blackhawks certainly made some additions to try and sturdy things up in their own zone. Obviously the Seth Jones move was probably the biggest one of the offseason, acquiring him from the Columbus Blue Jackets in exchange for Adam Boqvist in a first and second round pick. Essentially, they also swapped first round picks, but that was mostly the damage was Boqvist in a first and a second. But Seth Jones has now been brought in to really anchor the new core on defense for the Blackhawks as they're trying to become this contender like they were, you know, 5-6 years ago. So Seth is really going to be the guy that they're looking to really take everything by the helmet and lead the way on the back end for the Blackhawks. That's why he's getting paid so much money. That's what he's here to do. But I really like the addition of Jake McCabe back there as well, because not only is Jake a really sound defensive defenseman, he's known for being good in his own zone. And again, the Blackhawks, if you've watched them the past 3 or 4 years, that's been a problem. They've been getting swarmed in their own zone way too often, night in and night out. And the addition of Jake McCabe, I think, is really going to help in that area as well. He's already a sturdy guy that's proven he could be a top four defenseman. He's right there at the peak of his career, 27, 28 years old. We got him under contract for 4 more years. And I also think if the Blackhawks are planning on playing him with Seth Jones on that top pairing to start the season, I think that's really going to allow Seth to kind of really be more comfortable and play that two-way game that we've seen him do. And that's what led him to be in the Norris Trophy conversation a couple of years back when he was playing at his best before these last couple of struggle-filled campaigns with the Blue Jackets. We know about his offensive side. We know about the defensive side, but I think getting that addition of Jake McCabe back there, a sturdy guy in his own zone. It allows Seth to kind of not have to feel like it's his thing back there where he has to be the guy that has to make a difference right away. And I also think he can kind of skate the puck up the zone a little more freely, knowing he could have a guy who's reliable back there as well, rather than just some of the young guys. It was looking like the Blackhawks were going to have to throw out there early on in the season in those top pairings until they made these moves back there on defense. So the defensive additions, I think, were the biggest thing for the Blackhawks this offseason. And then obviously we got to talk about Marc-Andre Fleury for a second. Making those additions on defense, it would have been huge for the Blackhawks. But had Kevin Lankinen, just a sophomore in the NHL heading into this year, had he been the starter back there for the Blackhawks, and then, you know, maybe Colin Delia or Malcolm Subban, the other two netminders in the system at the moment, had they been the backup, goaltending still would have been a little bit of a question mark for this team. Yes, Kevin Lankinen performed great during the first half of last season, and that's really what had the Blackhawks sitting pretty there for a little bit, was Kevin Lankinen's play in net that no one saw coming. But then he came back down to earth a little bit there in the second half as well. And that's probably more of the goaltender we're going to see in these first couple years in the NHL. Obviously, I'm still super high on Kevin Lankinen, but to assume he's going to play at that elite level night in, night out, 27 years old, first year netminder in the NHL is or even his second year in the NHL is, I think, a little bit too much to ask. So that's why bringing in a veteran like Marc-Andre Fleury makes all the difference, especially just on a one-year contract, probably here in Chicago. He can show Kevin how to get the job done, how to be a professional. Obviously, he could still play as a number one himself. He just won the Vezina last year. And also, if you go and ask around the league about Marc-Andre Fleury, there's not one person that'll say a bad thing about this guy. You know, he's going to be a great locker room leader there for the Blackhawks as well. And that's not essentially they're not exactly the first thing that people think about with this Blackhawks team. You think about, oh, well, they won all those Stanley Cups not too long ago. They got plenty of locker room experience. Well, if you look at it now, Jonathan Toews and Patrick Kane are really the only two guys from that Stanley Cup team left. It's a lot of youngsters now on this roster. So adding a guy like Marc-Andre Fleury not only adds a true number one goalie for this team to really solidify that they're going to make a run for it this year, but it also should help that locker room presence as these youngsters are trying to step onto the scene here in Chicago as well.
Yeah. It's a lot of turnover.
Exactly.
The way you put it, like, it's only the two franchise cornerstones that are left, right? In Toews and Kane. This is a very different team. And I think because of that, we've got to ask, like, how differently is the Chicago Blackhawks team going to play? You know, they're a couple years removed now from Joel Quenneville. They've now moved on from Duncan Keith. I think we can say Seth Jones and Duncan Keith are very different stylistic defensemen to essentially build your decor around. So how different do you think this Blackhawks team is going to play? Do you think they're going to be a little bit more conservative as a team that's given up a lot in their own zone the last several years? Or do you think they're going to try to go back to a bit of a more high-flying style?
That's a really interesting question. And honestly, even throughout these past couple of years where they've struggled, Jeremy Colliton, the system that he's played, it almost is kind of a high-paced styled game. And that's why the Blackhawks, when they don't have the best defense, they're playing up tempo and they tend to give up a lot of chances as well. So having these new guys back there, especially defensively, I'm really interested to see how they're going to fare, especially in this little different system that Jeremy Colliton runs, because this was something he ran over on the bigger ice when he was coaching in Sweden. And he had a lot of success over there. That's what led him to being Joel Quenneville's predecessor, or the guy after Joel Quenneville, I should say, excuse me. Since coming to North America and running that same style, you know, it's been interesting. We've seen different defensemen come in and kind of struggle to know where they're going to be at all times. It's a man and a half style defense in the defensive zone. So it's a lot of relying on guys knowing where their teammates are going to be at the same time and making the right moves. It's a little more complicated than Joel Quenneville ran it here. And it seems like, at least with the players that the Blackhawks have had, I know they haven't put together the most competitive roster the last few seasons, and that may have a good part in it as well, obviously. But it seemed like the defensemen have had a tough time adapting to the system that Jeremy Colliton's been trying to run. So having a Jake McKay back there and Seth Jones, two guys who have been known to be good defensemen, I'm really interested to see how they're going to fare with Jeremy Colliton. And if Jeremy Colliton struggles with this team to have success, and if they do not put together a good fight for the postseason this year, he really is going to be on the hot seat, because for the first time in a while, there are some expectations with the Chicago Blackhawks team with the moves that they have made this offseason. And if he doesn't live up to that, then it ultimately may be time to have someone else calling the shots here. But at the moment, I do still believe they have full faith in him. But this is a big season without a doubt for him.
Yeah, it's kind of a make or break season for Collett. And I think that makes sense. I know it's kind of an unfair position to be put in, you know, essentially taking over as their core ages out. But you got to have some level of accomplishments, right? And I think the Chicago Blackhawks have a high standard of what they want to accomplish on the ice. Off the ice, maybe a little bit different story in terms of standards, but this is supposed to be a season preview. Gosh. So we've talked about the Chicago Blackhawks situation enough that we probably don't need to loop it in at this moment, but maybe we'll come back to it and bring you back on, Jack, during the season if we have more developments, because I think there's so much more to talk about with that whole scandal. But before we let you go, we'll just ask one last thing. We're talking about expectations. From a fan perspective and from a management perspective, what are the expectations for this season? Is it to get back into the playoffs or just be there? Or is it to, you know, have a last swan song for Taves and Kane over the next 2 years before they're unrestricted free agents? What's the expectations?
Yeah, it's going to be a tough Central Division for sure. And that's going to not make things easy for the Blackhawks if they want to get back in that postseason. So knowing that, I don't want to say it's like postseason or bust for this team right now. I just think they definitely have to show some fight and show some progress. The playoffs would be nice, but in a deep Central Division, you know, if they put up good points and they just find themselves being the odd man out at the end of the day, I don't think you can be too upset at that with how this team's been finishing in the standings over the past few years. But we definitely need to see some significant progress with all the moves that have been made. And hopefully with Jonathan Toews, he'll be able to come back and return the season. That should be a big boost to the forward group. And if he's healthy, you know, I think this can be a different team up front. And I really do believe this team can compete with the changes they've made, especially defensively and getting a high caliber goaltender. Marc-Andre Fleury solidifying that he was going to play for this team this year really made it official that, okay, this rebuild, it's over. It was a one and done for this Blackhawks team. We're now back into compete mode. Again, with the Central Division being so deep, you know, I don't think this team is going to be at the top of the division there with probably the St. Louis Blues and the Colorado Avalanche. But I do think they have the pieces to be right there in the wild card hunt. And I think that's a reasonable expectation for this team and what they've done in the offseason. So that's, I think, the goal is the most part, to be fighting for a playoff spot this season for the Blackhawks.
Awesome. Thanks so much, Jack. And before we let you go, plug some stuff. What have you got going on for Locked On Blackhawks?
Oh, definitely. I got a ton of crossovers coming up with all the Central Division hosts. Coming out later this morning is going to be my crossover with Robin Liano of Locked On Coyotes. I got one coming with Chris Massilia of Locked On Avalanche. The guys from Locked On Blues coming up. I got Blackhawks beat writer Ben Pope coming on the show soon. I'm in contact with Charlie Meliotis, a guy who works for NBC Sports Chicago. So a ton of good stuff is coming up on the show real soon. And if you want to check it out, any of the listeners out there, you can check out the Locked On Blackhawks podcast wherever you get your podcasts. You can also check out the podcast on Twitter at @LO_Blackhawks. As for me, my personal Twitter account is at @JackBushman2. You can check me out for Blackhawks stuff and pretty much anything regarding any Chicago sports there.
Thanks so much, man. We really appreciate you helping us out.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun. I hope to do it again soon.
Yeah, right, thank you.
Perfect. Built Bar is the best tasting protein bar on the market. Did you know that Built Bar has so many delicious flavors? There's something for everyone. When you talk to a Built Bar fan, they're always passionate about their faves. But if you don't know, maybe you can get a mystery box, or a mix box, sorry. And that's, you get two of each of the nine basic flavors, which are coconut, cherry barcia, raspberry, mint brownie, double chocolate, salted caramel, strawberry, orange, cookies and cream, and German chocolate. Not only are Built Bar flavors the best tasting, but they're healthy too. Each bar contains 17 to 18 grams of protein, calories ranging from 130 to 180, only 4 to 5 grams of sugar, and only 4 to 5 grams of net carbs. Amazing flavors, all tasty, covered in chocolate, easy to chew, and all healthy. Go to built.com and use the promo code LOCKED15 to get 15% off of your first order. Use promo code LOCKED15 for 15% off at built.com.
Welcome back to the Crosscheck NHL show. I'm here with a good buddy of mine for, geez, it's been a long time. We used to work together on Habs Eyes on the Prize. It's Scoop Matla. Oh, no, sorry. Scott Matla of Locked On Canadiens.
It only took one try to get the name right. I called for a haircut and they spelled my name S-T-O-T-T. And I just went, you know what? I'm just done. Everyone's in on the joke now. So
it is crazy how many people misspell or mispronounce your name when it's really not a complicated name.
Like the last name I get like autocorrect because Malta is a country. Like sure. I can understand that, but like, how do you screw up Scott? Like that's the part one. I don't get.
It can be done, as we've learned
several times by NHL teams, no less.
Oh man. So funny. But yeah, so we're going to talk about the Montreal Canadiens because they've had an off season. We should say, I mean, we won't be able to get into every little detail. Like, I don't know if we should really rehash the draft shenanigans. I think we've gone into it a lot on this show. We're really talking about the NHL side coming into this season. So essentially let's start here, Scott, relative to last season, who's in and who's out?
Well, Shea Weber for an indeterminate amount of time, which leaves a humongous hole on their defensive side there. Whether you think he's washed up or not, that's a lot of minutes that needed replacing. Philip Deneau is gone. Jesperi Kotkaniemi is gone. And I think Philip Deneau is definitely that big one that they're missing now. That's a top six center. That's their defensive stalwart, their penalty killing guy. And they had to replace him. They ended up doing that with Christian Dvorak so far, at least from what we can tell. But they're missing a little bit of that kind of, I don't want to say magic, but some of those players that they had last year, even Corey Perry, who's now gone to Tampa Bay to chase another cup ring, which I don't fault him for. They gave him 2 years to do it. So the team, despite not being totally different, is still entirely different with the names that are missing from them right now for free agency and injuries and such.
Yeah. I mean, like we can talk about some of the people that they brought in. Mike Hoffman, for example, I think is interesting, but and you know, Dvorak, I think he seems to me to be the Deneau replacement in essence, right? Like he doesn't really fill the niche that Jesperi Kotkaniemi filled. He's not a future guy. He isn't old by any means, but he's 4 years older than Kotkaniemi. He's in his prime now. He's not a future piece per se. He's a now piece.
Yeah, I look at what they did. There was the, are they going for Jack Eichel? Are they going to match the offer sheet for Kotkaniemi? Are they going to offer sheet somebody else? And looking at the way they built this team right now, they brought in David Savard, they brought in Mike Hoffman, and then they got Dvorak. They're clearly like, we're going for it now. Well, Price can still go in the playoffs like he did this last year. We got to keep going for it. You have the right pieces there, the youth and the veterans, but we don't know how everything's going to kind of gel yet. Dvorak is seemingly the replacement for Philip Deneau. And like you said, he's in his prime. They're going for it right now. Whether that's smart or not, we will never know until they actually take the ice right now and see kind of what Dominique Ducharme has with a full training camp under his belt, and not kind of being thrust into a spiraling team and trying to do his best to get it all put together like he was last year during the North Division, as fun as that was.
Yeah, and you know, you bring up Dome Ducharme, which really segues perfectly into where we're going next, which is, you know, with an actual training camp for Ducharme and some practice time in a season that's not as hyper-compressed as last season, where he's not taking over halfway through from Claude Julien. Do you expect there's going to be any major changes in the way that the Canadians approach the game? Are they going to play the same tight defensive style, relying on their lumberjack defense without Shea Weber, or is there going to be something that forces their hand, like say Matthias Norlander making the team and pushing the direction of the defense in a different way?
I kind of hope that it's the latter. I want to see this team play that more up-tempo style. We saw it against Winnipeg where they just railroaded that team in the playoffs. And when the Canadians are all clicking, that's what they look like. They did really well in games against Vegas when they got going there, even if they had their hiccups in the road there. I want to see more of that. I want to see defensemen who aren't afraid to carry the puck out. The off the glass and out thing is going to be Joel Edmondson, David Savard. That's their game. That's their bread and butter. But I want to see someone also be Jeff Petrie out there besides Jeff Petrie. That's asking a lot of a guy who nearly had two fingers ripped off his hand last year. Like they know they can do it. They showed in the playoffs what they're capable of actually playing, especially the forwards where they found a strong cycle game or found good plays off the rush to use their speed. They have a lot of that. Jonathan Drouin, Josh Anderson, Paul Byron, when he's back, they have the speed to stretch out teams. It's just, they can't do what they did in some games where they try to square peg in the round hole. It's like, well, it worked in this game. It's not working in this one. Ducharme with a full training camp, and I think a year under his belt, should hopefully be more prepared for the challenges of being a coach. And hopefully we'll see more of that playoff Canadiens team, not the team that limped in the last couple games of the season here.
Absolutely. And I think that if there's ever a team that has huge question marks coming into next season, you look at the division that they're playing in, which has a sizably like unbalanced top four, we'll say top four teams. This is at the top, the toughest division in the sport, but the Canadiens have a very big boom or bust potential. I think most people recognize, right? Like, can Carey Price be playoff Carey Price for most of a regular season? He might have to be with the way the defense corps is assembled right now. Can they weather the losses of Shea Weber, of Phil Deneau? I mean, this team has a lot of turnover for a team that went to the Stanley Cup final last year. So thinking of those things, what are the expectations coming into this season? Is from both the fan perspective, from you, Scott, and people that you talk to, and what do you think the expectations are from management? Is this a, let's try to do this one more time for Carey Price and Jeff Petrie and like Brendan Gallagher? Or is this a, you know, we'll figure out what happens and decide accordingly at the trade deadline kind of thing, or we're looking at 2 years down the road?
I think the expectation for this season is that they should make the playoffs. They want to push for that playoffs. But you don't spend to the cap. You don't go out and give Mike Hoffman $4.5 million a year for 3 years, unless you're planning to do something with that. You have a lot. You have someone like Nick Suzuki is on the final year of their entry level deal, and he's going to command a lot of money. Alexander Romanov is going to come up on his contract. You have pieces that you want to get these victories in before they got to get paid. But I wouldn't be shocked if this is a, let's make the playoffs this year. Let's see where Shea Weber's at. Let's see where some of these prospects are. Does Matthias Norlander make the team? Does Romanov make that next jump? If that's the case, maybe Shea Weber retires and they go, okay, we have this money. Let's replace him now instead of trying to scramble and do that now. This might be they're looking and seeing. I think the expectation is they want to make the playoffs. They want to contend in there. They obviously want to go to the Stanley Cup final. Again, that's the entire goal of, well, to win the Stanley Cup. I don't know if they have the firepower or the defense to do that right now. I look at how good Toronto is. I look at how good Florida is, how good Tampa still is, which is unfair, how good Boston still is. It's not going to be easy to make the playoffs. And you have teams like Detroit that's reloading on young prospects, Ottawa that's reloading. I'm not going to say Buffalo because they haven't proven they can actually do anything with young prospects quite yet. It's only going to get harder for the Canadiens. And this is a year where they either have to go for it or they got to start actually doing the steps to rebuilding this team. You can't straddle the fence forever.
And do you think that's what the Canadiens management is doing, is straddling the fence? Or do you think that they actually have a decision made already of what they want to do this season?
I do think they're going to go for it. Like I said, they spent up there. I'm really curious to see what they do with that LTIR space for Shea Weber and Paul Byron at the start of the year. It gives them a lot of flexibility to maybe do something if they think they need to. If they don't think this, if they come out of the gate and they struggle, I wouldn't expect the Canadiens to do much of anything this year. You might see people leaving, not coming to Montreal. And then who knows what goes on with Carey Price, with Shea Weber, et cetera, from there. But I do think that this team, Mark Bergevin believes in his players. He assembled this team. Of course, he's going to try and push for that playoff spot. He's going to try and win every single year. Whether that's smart or not, it's up until we see this team on the ice. Like you said, there's so much turnover. It's an entirely different looking core. They've got a million wingers and like three centers. It's an entirely different looking team. They're going to be forced to adapt, and they got to learn that system quickly, which hopefully going back to the playoffs is what they did. So there's not that weird phase where nothing's clicking in place quite yet.
Yeah. They're definitely one of the more interesting teams, I think, to follow this year, which I feel like they almost always are, right? Like, there's always something up in the air with the Montreal Canadiens that it's never an easy story, right? There's always something to talk about.
Yeah, it's like either Mark Bergevin isn't saying anything, so everyone just assumes every little rumor is going to happen, or 9 million things happen at once. There's no balance in Montreal. It's nothing is happening or everything is happening. There's never any in between. The team doesn't give you a moment's peace, which is great if you host a daily podcast and write for a hockey website. It's terrible if you want to go to bed at a normal time, but they're not boring. I'll give them that much. The season might go right down the toilet, but they're going to be entertaining the entire way through it.
Yeah, which is all you can really hope for as someone who covers the sport. All right, Scott, before I let you go, plug some stuff. What do you got going on with Laura for the Locked On Canadiens podcast?
So obviously, Laura and I host Locked On Canadiens. We have a ton of fun with it. We're working on a couple of crossovers with Nolan Bianchi of Locked On Red Wings, with Locked On Panthers. We're getting some friends from Montreal on the show. We're just trying to set up times. And I'm working on getting Clint Malarchuk to come on the show. He's going to talk about what he's done after retiring from the NHL, his battle with mental illness and depression, and what he's doing to help players and former players outside of that to make them feel that they're not so alone out in the world there. It's going to be a really heavy interview, but it's definitely something with everything we're reading about what's going on in Chicago, all the things surrounding CTE and the effects of that. It's something I'm really excited to do. We're trying to set up a date on that so I can give it the time and everything that it needs. And I'm hoping that we get that out to people who need to hear that. It's an important message. And I know Clint's very excited to be able to get that word out there for a lot of people.
Awesome. Looking forward to it, man. And thanks for doing this. We'll probably try to get you and Laura on together at some point during the regular season to talk some Habs.
Awesome. Thank you very much, man.
Talk soon.
It's that time of year again. All eyes are now turning to football as teams get back on the gridiron to start the football season. We're in week one, as Mary mentioned early in the podcast. And, you know, you've got all sorts of fantasy sports that you got to take care of, but you got to look at some betting too. As always, BetOnline is your number one spot for all the pro and college football action this season. Get all the updated odds, props, and contests, including online's biggest $500,000 NFL mega contest and the world's largest 200,000 NFL survivor contest, open now at BetOnline. Head to the website or use your mobile device to sign up today and receive your 100% welcome bonus. That's essentially doubling your money. BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to bet on all of your favorite sports. From football, basketball, boxing, right to your favorite Vegas casino games, don't wait and take advantage of all the great offers available for the 2021 season. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts. Promo code LOCKEDON. All right, Mary, it's time for the Pop Culture Roulette segment. And I notice you have something written down here, but I think before we get into that, we've got to talk about the fact that Disney Plus just dropped the Hawkeye trailer, which...
Before we do that, I just want to... I saw on Twitter that this is semi-hockey news. I saw on Twitter that the Flyers are going to ask fans to choose the goal song for this year. So... Yeah, because the Flyers' goal songs the past couple of years, hot mess, garbage, bad. They either let, you know, the team choose it. It was just very strange. So getting the fans to choose it is great, but that means there's going to be meme songs involved, 100%. I'm sure. And there is one of the Flyers in-arena DJs made a remix of a local news theme. If you're a local Philly person, you know the Action News theme song. I definitely recommend you look it up because it is like an actual... There's like an actual legitimate like news theme that was, I don't know, it's a big deal in the area, and he made like a remix of it for like their warm up. So now I'm campaigning for it to be the Flyers' goal song. That's please amazing. And thank you. But that's all I wanted to say. So if you're a local Philly person, you know what I'm talking about. But I think it's really cool that the Flyers are asking the fans to pick the goal song for this year. I'm super excited to see what we come up with because it's definitely not going to tear the city apart, I'm sure.
I just looked at the link and you don't have to like do anything to prove that you're a Flyers fan. So I feel like we should troll Flyers fans and do something like, what's a very Pittsburgh song? There's got to be something, you know, like let's get something Penguins in there somehow.
Well, I mean, there is the, I think Mac Miller is a Pittsburgh artist, but he has... You know, the Flyers used one of his songs as a win song a handful of years back.
Yeah, so it's not enough of a troll. So we'll got to do something like
I know
the Scranton song from The Office.
that would be really funny. I'm really excited to see what they come up with. I'm sorry, that's fine.
Goal songs are fun. You know what? I really like when players get to choose their own goal song and there's like 25 different ones. That's always super fun to me.
Yes, I'm really here for the Flyers fans choosing the goal song because, like, we've needed this for a while. The Flyers goal songs have been bad in recent years, and I'm glad that they're taking, you know, community input here because it's very possible they'll return to Dupe, which was the Union's goal song that they stole but was really good. It was, like, an electronic song. That's, we'll see what they come up with. I'm interested to see if it'll be a return of a fan favorite from previous years or if we'll get something new. So, because didn't Penguins fans lobby big for Party Hard and then that became their goal song? So I'm very happy to see Flyers fans finally having some input here because it's felt like forever that, you know, we've moved away from it really fun goal song. So if it sucks, though, Flyers fans, this is on you. So please.
Or, you know, if it goes out there and every NHL team gets to go in there and suggest some stuff, that'd be pretty funny. I think because it's the Flyers and they're such a tough team and they're such a popular team, everyone should troll them and get something going, and then Gritty can react to it, and that'll be fun. But yes.
All right. Anyway, so, back to the Marvel. No, I'm sorry for taking. So
Disney Plus threw out the Hawkeye trailer today, which I think a lot of people expected to come a lot earlier than it did. I think now Ms. Marvel must be delayed until 2022. I don't think that's official yet, but it was supposed to come out in 2021. But with Hawkeye is going to debut over the holidays, it sounds like. So it is holiday themed, which is fantastic. And I sent it to a few friends of mine and they all basically replied, it's Hawkeye Die Hard, like Marvel Die Hard. And I was like, yeah, that sounds amazing. And the trailer looks legitimately fun. And Mary, you pointed out that there is a Captain America musical within the trailer, which is clearly part of the plot. That is amazing.
It is. I got very, you know, Spider-Man, Turn Off
that
the
was
Dark?
Such a disaster.
Yeah, that's exactly the vibes I got. I was like, oh god, oh no, they're doing it again. Oh no. But yes, the trailer was incredible. I watched it before we started recording because I knew that I saw it come out and I was like, oh man, I have to watch this because we're going to talk about it. I'm a sucker for anything with Christmas music. That was great. I'm excited for Kate Bishop. That's going to be a lot of fun. I really think this could be a very fun Marvel series. I don't think it's going to be wacky in terms of, like, you know, bringing things like Loki or WandaVision did to the MCU, but I think this is going to be more of, you know, the fun, like bring in the fun, bring in the jokes, I guess not in the same vein as, you know, Falcon and the Winter Soldier, because that seemed to be a bit more serious
level.
But this seems to be
yeah.
So I'm really looking forward to it. It seems like it's going to be a fun holiday adventure, but like I said, I'm a sucker for anything around the holidays. Looks fun.
I mean,
looks like
Hawkeye
is not a
character that I don't think anybody in the MCU is in love with at this point. And I think this is the advantage of these Disney Plus series, is you're able to take people like Loki, who has been in the MCU for a very long time, but hasn't actually had a lot of screen time, and give them their own thing. Same with Wanda and Vision. You gave them their own thing to really build their characters. And Falcon and Bucky also got to really build their characters. And it's really fun. But also, the comic run that this is based on was made by Matt Fraction. And it's the most celebrated Hawkeye run of all time, by far. And it's essentially where Kate Bishop was introduced. Her character was developed. And I'm very excited for people to meet Lucky the Pizza Dog. I will say that.
Yeah, was he in the trailer? He was in the trailer.
Image. I don't think he was in the trailer, but I only watched it once.
I saw images of him. I saw images of him, so maybe there were additional images sent out after that trailer, but I think I saw pictures of him. Very excited, though. I've heard a lot about the comics are very beloved by people, so I'm really looking forward to it. Like you said, Hawkeye isn't probably the most beloved Marvel character, but I liked when they did stuff with him and Wanda. He kind of acted just like her dad.
Yes, that was his best bits in the movies, right?
Yes.
Him looking out for Wanda and taking care of, not necessarily taking care of her, but like you said, acting as like a father figure, a mentor.
Yeah, so if he like fulfills the same role here, I think that's kind of where he fits
a
good
niche. I'm
a
huge sucker for Hailee Steinfeld. Ever since I watched Bumblebee, she is so charismatic, so funny, so good. So I'm a huge fan of her. And just like the little moments that she's had in that trailer as Kate Bishop, I'm just 100% in. As soon as she was cast, I was in. But now I'm even more in. She's great.
Yeah.
So I'm really looking forward to it. I think this is going to be a new take that people are going to be very surprised by how good it is, just based on how limited Hawkeye's character has been in the movies. And Kate Bishop is the best, so it's going to be awesome.
Mm-hmm. Yes, absolutely.
All right. And you had mentioned Come From Away.
Yeah. So over the weekend, I watched a musical on Apple TV that I got for free with my PlayStation 5 thing. So now I have 6 months of Apple TV for free. So I guess Ted Lasso is on the list. But this is a pro shot version, much like Hamilton was, of the musical Come From Away, which tells the story of a very, like, I don't know if, like, how true it is, but it tells, like, a true story of the following the September 11th attacks. 38 planes were ordered to land unexpectedly in the small town of Gander, yes, in Newfoundland. And I thought it was a great musical. Music was really fun, but I wanted to mention it here because of all the Canadian stuff. I mean, they've got, you know, Canadian accents. They'd mentioned Tim Hortons, hockey. I just thought it was a really cute depiction of Canada. If you ever watch it, because I know you're a musical person, I'm interested to see what you think of, you know, all the Canada stuff. But it was great. I really enjoyed it. It's not super heavy on the, like, 9/11, like, overall stuff. It's more just, you know, people helping people, which was really nice to see, you know, because this pandemic has, you know, turned a lot of people into being like, man, people don't really care about other people. But this musical really has a lot of, you know, that kind of, you know, what humanity should be. There are obviously references to 9/11 and, you know, some of the racism and stuff that has come out of that. Yeah. But I think it did a very good job in what it did, and the songs were good. It was a very charismatic show, in my opinion. So it was really good to watch, and it was just nice to watch musical theater stuff because I really do miss musical theater. I'm excited for it. I'm excited to see my first show, I think, this fall.
Very nice.
So.
Yeah, I'm familiar with that story. I think it's a part of that whole situation that Canadians as a whole are, like, very proud of, the way that especially Newfoundland and Gander reacted, housing so many people off those planes. And it's definitely one of those stories that reminds you that, like, Canada and the United States are essentially brothers, right? Or siblings, we'll say. I don't want to make it male or female. They're siblings. And as much as Canada is the little sibling, sometimes we have to step up. And that was one of the times where we did. And it cauterizes that relationship, right? It keeps it together. And
yeah,
9/11 is a sad time. The things that have happened since, I think we could say, have made our world irreparably worse. But it's good to find some goodness in people out of those tragedies. And I know there's a documentary about, yes, that whole situation that I've watched before that I think is on Netflix. I can't recall the name of it, but I'm definitely interested to watch that musical now.
Yeah, definitely do. Like you said, it focuses more on the human element of it all. And the cast is small, so they play multiple roles. They play people, you know, from, you know, that were on the planes, but also they play the Newfoundlanders. So it's really cool seeing them, like, bounce back and forth between the roles, and the songs are good. Yeah, it's a really nice musical. It's definitely got that feel-good quality. I mean, obviously there's, you know, it's still mentions, you know, heavy topics because of 9/11, but it's ultimately a feel-good, you know, story. So I definitely recommend it. I heard good things, and I was like, I guess I'll try out that Apple TV trial. So now I've got Apple TV to try out Ted Lasso, so we'll see if I get to that within the next couple of weeks. Currently, though, my sister and I are still watching The Owl House and making very good progress on it, and it is a very good animated show. Definitely recommend for anybody who loves animated shows in the same vein as, like, She-Ra, Gravity Falls, stuff like that. I really enjoyed those types of things, and it's been very good so far, and I'm excited.
Yeah, I can't wait till you watch the first season of Ted Lasso. We're gonna definitely have to do, like, special podcast about that.
All right, I'm excited.
But that's all we have for you today on the Crosscheck NHL Show. Thanks for listening, and we'll be back with you Thursday. But before we let you go, we got to tell you about Locked On Bets. Betting on the NHL doesn't have to be a guessing game if you listen to the new Locked On Bets podcast hosted by your boy Q and handicap expert Lee Sterling. Get daily picks, blowout specials, wrong team favorite picks, and Lee Sterling's lock of the day. Follow the Locked On Bets podcast brought to you by betonline.ag wherever you get your podcasts.